All right, let's take this case that's very, very occluded. Why is he occluded? He hasn't got any space. Why hasn't he got any space? Well, it's because he doesn't have a viewpoint of dimension. Well, why is this? And let's get into the very, very deep, super significant part of all this right now, huh? He is unwilling to have so many viewpoints in so many places that he has given up his own. He's sitting there setting an example of no viewpoint to try to blind everybody else. One of the things he's doing. But he is so thoroughly objects to having so many viewpoints that he's herded himself back and corralled himself into blackness. Now, I'm sorry if that touches somebody's toes. Just shift your foot a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, there's nothing vicious about this. This fellow may have had a lot of things happen to him. Here's the mechanical action. He's down the street, he's walking down the street, it's a nice day, he feels perfectly okay, and he goes around the corner and he sees a little kid who is just off the curb, and somebody comes along, California driver, comes along, runs over the little kid, crushes his head in, there's blood and brains all over the place. He gets a sudden feeling of complete unreality. That's his immediate reaction. Frozen horror and then complete unreality. He's trying to run on the postulate. It didn't happen. Time is back there. That's the first thing he's trying to do. But the actual action is he's trying to withdraw his attention from it. He has to. Because there was the driver of the car. He doesn't want that viewpoint. There's the little kid. He sure doesn't want that viewpoint. And yet that sort of thing can happen in this society. All right, what's the answer? There's two viewpoints he doesn't want. Now let's take 76 trillion years worth. How many viewpoints doesn't he want? Well, you say very practically, now look, we can get right straight at the truth of this thing, and we can just run on down the line as nice as you please, and all we'll have to do here, is run a process which runs like this. All right, now give me some viewpoints you don't want. That doesn't happen to be the truth. The truth is he wants every viewpoint he has. It happens to be an aberrated solution. And that is the aberrated solution. I don't want that viewpoint. All the errors on the line, if added up and put together and cataloged, possibly could make an awful lot of books. Well, let's find out what the primary error is. You could say the primary error was to make some space in the first place. But aside from that, the real primary error, the entrance point, the threshold into what we call aberration. And that could be insanity, neurosis, inability to think fast, inability to paint, although you want to. Aberration, the blocking of goals, the impotence of existence. What would the threshold be? It would be right there. I don't want that or those viewpoints. I don't want that viewpoint. That's the threshold of it. Because immediately, there goes the guy's space. When his space goes, there goes his differentiation. Just for a moment, his space went. Well, it's just for a moment, and now it's in a picture. How does he get the picture in the first place? Well, the picture is inverted. You see, it would be awfully dull if you went along all these years looking at pictures, so sooner or later you began to withdraw your attention from the pictures. Well, in view of the fact that you were putting the pictures there, your effort to withdraw, energy-wise, your attention from the pictures, of course, condensed them and brought them right in on you. All you had to do was decide to withdraw from any view when you brought the view in on you. That's all there was to that. So, as an individual gives up, doesn't want, refuses to have, negates against viewpoints, so he runs out of space because the mechanical action of space in the first place is simply a viewpoint of dimension. And that is space, and there isn't any other space than that. And so we get the problem. When he doesn't want these viewpoints, naturally, he has struck at the reason there is space. You got how grim that is. He's, I don't want that viewpoint. I want to see everything look pretty out that way over there. I don't want those viewpoints over that way. As soon as he starts to object to a lot of these viewpoints, why, he's in trouble. Well, if we try to run this process on this basis, give me some viewpoints you don't want, you find your free clear would make tremendous progress for minutes. Boy, he would be right in there chewing. Pang, 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 pang. Thud. And he hits the thud because it isn't true. Viewpoints you don't want. You have asked him to take a second echelon. The second echelon. You've assumed that the viewpoint existed and then that it was to be negated against. And that is the very action which the messed universe undertakes to trap somebody. By asking viewpoints he didn't want, you then ask him a lie. In the first place, the viewpoints didn't exist for him unless he postulated their existence. Viewpoints he didn't want, well, why don't you say postulates you don't want? It's just as thoroughly short-circuited as that. So you can sometime, just to demonstrate it to yourself, run that process that way on somebody. Get somebody you don't like. Get a psychiatrist. Say, give me some viewpoints you don't want. And just start running those and running those and running those. And you know, he'll really see some truth in what you're saying. He'll really see that you've really gotten there. And then you go home and get sick. Or you get sick right there. Eli will chuck his cookies. You've just asked him to collapse everything on him. That's all. Viewpoints he doesn't want. He has to keep postulating. I don't want that viewpoint. I don't want that viewpoint. I don't want that viewpoint. And you'll suddenly run out of space. It's as elementary as that. You've asked the guy to make the postulates, which will put him at the bottom of the barrel. And he, of course, obligingly makes the postulate. Now, of course, where would your mother be safe? The truth of the matter is, it's perfectly fine for your mother to be safe. That's perfectly all right. You could have the whole universe on the whole track in all particular directions perfectly safe, and you could be as happy as a clam. In other words, it isn't necessarily true that you have to make everything on the track vanish in order to survive. You see, that's an aberrated solution. Everything could exist, everything could survive, and so forth, and you could survive too. And the ordinary operation is that an individual gets so mad at so many things on the track that he decides so many of these things mustn't survive that he's completely lost touch with the idea that some of them might possibly, by some stretch of the imagination, be permitted to survive without completely caving him in. Well, whenever we get into a completely aberrated statement, which we're asking a person to make over and over and over as a postulate, well, of course, we get dire results in the preclear. There's a little axiom goes with this. A process is as good as it approximates actual truth. It's as good as it approximates truth. Truth of the matter is everything can survive. When we run an individual along the line and we find out this safe, that safe, boy, for a while there, he's wild-eyed about this and that. And finally he said, well, what happens? Does mother disappear? Does it finally come true that she dies in her tracks the way he wants her to during one period of the process? No. No, she's just going on happily, and he finally, her universe is over there, his is over here, and so what? He's happy, doesn't influence him particularly. He's perfectly comfortable about this situation. And for the first time, he can relax, and he can like somebody. Or he says, well, what do you know? Something else can survive besides myself, and I can be perfectly cheerful about it. You remember this computation I was talking about in the PABs? And by the way, if you don't have the PABs, you ought to, amongst you, get what copies you do have and look over them, because there's a lot of very valuable material in them which leads up to this type of processing. There's a lot of tricks in them. But here's the only one. This guy who's the only one has been withdrawing from view, and then he decides he'll appear again. Of course, when he appears again, he's withdrawn from all viewpoints. When he appears again, why, he says, I'd better be the only one. And after a while, why, he becomes the only one. In other words, nothing can survive but myself. Well, now look, on a communication basis, what can this fellow communicate with? He can't, because everything else must not survive, and he must survive. Well, just on that, we don't get a duplication. And if we get no duplication on this, we get no communication, so he goes out of communication with the rest of the universe. Sure, he can be the only one, a rock down at the crossroads. Nobody ever notices it. No advantage in it whatsoever. Remember, there are eight dynamics. There isn't just one. The way the thing collapses, the person withdraws from the outer periphery of spaces to which he's acclimated. He withdraws, and he finally gets down to the point where only one can survive. Well, you start asking him other viewpoints you don't want. You start asking him, well, give me some places where your mother would not be safe. You're just paralleling this only one computation. You're just asking and inviting the fellow to wind up as the only one on the track. And, of course, in the process of becoming that, he will get sicker than a pup. The only reason any universe is here at all, anyhow, is because somebody's looking at it. So why not let somebody else look at it and keep the space stretched, huh? Now, that sounds very elementary and highly theoretical and so forth, but the best test of such a thing is space a viewpoint of dimension? Does this work dynamite? Yeah, just get somebody, as I said, a psychiatrist or somebody, and run this on him for a short time. Viewpoints you don't want. Oh, you'll get happy about it. You'll have somatics. And finally, he'll wind up with his field completely black, utterly occluded, out of touch. And as far as his body is concerned, it is so entirely dependent on other viewpoints than its own, just to keep space there, that it'll be real sick. So does anyone on the route toward only one. But how do you make an only one? Viewpoints he doesn't want. I want to be the only viewpoint of space. What? You mean... You want to be the only fellow who's holding the messed universe out there, corner by corner? You want to do it all by yourself? Well, go ahead. You can. I'm sure you can. Dolo. Now, we ask somebody, where are viewpoints safe? This is a different question. See, we're not strictly dealing with a dichotomy here. Get this out of your mind, if you had it there, that it's not a strictly a plus and a minus. One is fact and the other is fancy. Which is fact? Viewpoints and things safe. That's fact. And viewpoints and things not safe, that's fancy. When you got those two things uncrossed, you're in fine shape. But it's not a dichotomy. This one happens to be true, that things are safe and do survive, and the other, that they don't, is utterly false. And you're up so close to the threshold of processing aberration itself, then, of course, you better pay some attention to the truth of the case. Now, you can actually make people sick by processing this wrong. And the only way you'd process it wrong would be to process it in a direction where there would be less space. When you say viewpoints you don't want, you're immediately saying less space, less space, less space, less space, less space, less space, here we go. You see, we just process it the other way. Space is safe. Space is safe, space is safe. More space, more space, more space, more space, more space, more space. We should understand that as the highest level of action in the mind. If it has a viewpoint, it's got space. And if it doesn't have a viewpoint, it doesn't have space. And when it negates against certain viewpoints and doesn't want them anymore, it doesn't have that space. Now, there's many a pre-clear walking around without any front to his face. Or if he does have a front to his face, it isn't his. And that's because Mama has stood there in front of him, and Papa stood there in front of him, and the boss, and the general, and the privates, and other senior people. And they've said, we don't like this viewpoint. Well, of course, he missed the boat. The proper answer in that case is, well, what you standing there for, then? Obvious rebuttal. But instead of that, why, he took exception to this, and he says, I don't want that viewpoint, I don't want that viewpoint, I don't want that viewpoint. To what? To the front of his own face. A point out here about 4 feet from his face, and he's saying, I don't want that space, I don't want that space. Pretty soon he hasn't got any. See, he said there must be no viewpoint out in front of that. That's the continuous postulate which he's made all the way along the line. There must be no viewpoint out in front of my face. Mama's viewpoint must not be in front of my face. Papa's viewpoint mustn't be. And you know what the end product is? The preclear himself flies out on an inversion and is 2 or 3 feet in front of his face. He's, quote, running, unquote, the body from a point in advance of his own face. He has resisted it so hard that it's finally inverted, and the lines he used for resistance actually pulled him into the position. He set up space there that one mustn't have, and it became such forbidden space that he finally stepped into it. Be very careful, said Simple Simon's mother, how you step into the pies. And this fellow was very careful how he stepped into that viewpoint. Well, when we got a problem in no space. We have a problem in negated viewpoints. All right, whose viewpoints was it that were negated against? Well, E meter's a happy one on that. Tell you right away. It will actually tell you a lot faster than the pre-clear can. Here's a neat little experience on that. Had a pre-clear. He was doing very fine. Doing swell. We weren't using an E-meter. And all of a sudden, his case took a tremendous bog, just over a period of about 5 minutes. So I went and dragged out an E-meter. Put him on it. You know what? I'd been processing the wrong universe. All other universes stemmed from this other universe. Well, now, he never mentioned it. But the E-meter went into the most rigid stick you ever saw in your life. From any slightest swing or bop or anything, it utterly froze, you know, a real stuck. The E-meter swings widely. That tells you that there's charge, action, and flow, and that's very significant. And it sticks. You want to get accustomed to looking at a real stuck meter. A real stuck meter, if you practically slapped the pre-clear, the needle wouldn't move. I mean, they're so busily engrossed in thinking about some incident in which they're stuck that the needle is just stuck. That's all. So there's two manifestations you look for. Well, here's this terrifically stuck thing. And what we've been doing, we've been trimming around the edges of a solid mass. All we've been doing is taking these things off. The guy had utterly forgotten, completely forgotten, that when he was 18, he'd gotten married, and he'd been married for 2 years. This girl was gone. His first marriage, according to him, had taken place when he was 25. Oh, this was a real rough one. I mean, this character just disappeared from view. And, of course, the case wasn't resolving at all, because that was all that was wrong with the case. He was just so madly avoiding these years. So tremendously avoiding that person's viewpoint that just nothing existed along that line. And that nothingness was the kind of a nothingness whereby he was pulling everything in on him. So he was stuck right at that period and pulling everything else on top of him. And an E-meter just simply said so, just like that. Doesn't require a fancy E-meter to tell you that. One of those little 53s with a tone handle and so forth will do just fine. They're quite light, easy to pack around. And they'll tell you everything you want to know. They'll stick with the best of them. All right. When we have this process, then, advanced course procedure, we are processing as close to definitions as possible. This has always been true in the advanced course, in these clinical courses. We process as close to definitions as possible. And when we're right on the button with definitions, we see the space as a viewpoint of dimension. We, of course, have the basic of any universe. Of any actually created universe, the basic is that there must be somebody there to be the central viewpoint of it. Well, whose postulates would hold in that universe? Of course, the person whose viewpoint it was. That person's viewpoint would hold. Therefore, we have the God concept. Now, the other things that are manifest here that aren't mentioned on this data sheet, down here we see the note a sex scale is something that you could use for diagnosis and hasn't been gone into here very thoroughly. Now here we have no, look, emote, effort, think, symbols, eating, and sex. Well, you know, there's a curious manifestation on these thinking machines. The mind will flick over from space into whatever level the person is in. You tell them to look at space, and they will flick immediately into that level on that condensation scale. See, no to sex is a condensation scale. That's how much more condensed it is. And their mind will flick over straight across on that. For instance, you say, look at the space, the fellow would think of sex. Look at the space, he'd think of eating. Now, that's theoretical, but since I mentioned this last time, I conducted a little test on it that seems to hold good. Look at the space, and the fellow goes into that band where he's stuck. You say, look at the space, and he thinks of working. He's in the effort band. Look at the space, he gets emotional. He said, isn't that beautiful, or gee, he sighs, or something of the sort. He hits the emotional band. And you say, look at that space, and he looks at that space, and he's in pretty good shape. And you say, look at that space, he knows all about that space, and that would be the top level. Now, this is a scale of condensation, no to sex. The more a person has withdrawn from existence, why, the more dense, you could say, the individual had become. The less space he has, and the further and more he will identify. He gets real stupid down there toward the bottom. Now, there's one point in addition to this that you must know about this data sheet, and that is over here on beingness processing. Beingness processing has many uses. Many things can be done with it. It's listed as fourth here on page 3. And we find that you could have a preclear who wasn't exteriorized be one thing right after another and actually move him out of, after that, being those things. You could do him some good with this process. See, he isn't being a body. He's being something else at the same time. But this process is not at this time intended for somebody who is interiorized. Now notice, it follows here the third, and it says what you do with the third is that you keep running universe processing and then SOPHC and universe processing and SOPHC and universe processing until you got the guy exteriorized. So let's not confuse this beingness processing with an earlier beingness processing where you're still running the guy interiorized. It's not intended to be run that way in this advanced course procedure. The reason it isn't is because the other takes quite a little time. It's useful, but this other is more useful, universe processing. So the way this is written here is intended that after the person is exteriorized, the first thing you ask him to be are spaces. You see, you've run 8C on him. He's already located where he's not, and so forth. Well, let's just give him a space drill. Now, what is the pattern for that drill? This is, by the way, an old process. This is the first unit process. It's right there. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time. He's exteriorized. He has some certainty where he is. Now we ask him to be the space of the room, the space of the body, the space of the building, the space of the room, the space of the body, the space of the building, the space of the room, the space of the body, the space of the building. See? And we ask him to be other spaces, just like that, repetitively, quickly, one after the other, be the space of the body, the space of the room, the space around the room. The space around the building, the space of the building, the space of the body, the space of the building, the space of the body, the space of the building, the space of the body. The space of your own universe, the space of the messed universe, the space of somebody else's universe, the space of your own universe, the space of the messed universe, the space of somebody else's universe. And that one you mustn't omit on that one. Because very often a person's perceptics will turn on like the Great White Way. Three universes, you ask them to be the spaces of universes, and so forth. You just chase him around doing this. Now, just for fun, you start asking him to be this and be that, not in an effort to trap him, you know, to discover what things he can't be, but just to demonstrate to him that, look, he's freer than he used to be. He can look at things because he can duplicate them. He can be them. So, therefore, he can communicate with them. So, he needn't be afraid of them. Now, there is a natural process. And we run back, and finally, after we've done a lot of this other, you see, be the space of the room and so on, if at any time, while you're running this fourth process, and it's important because it's not on here, any time when you're running this thing, if the fellow starts to fog up on you, or gets sticky or something of the sort, just run some more step one of 8C. You know, ask him a lot of places he's not, some people he's not, where some people are not, and just sharpen him up a little bit. And there's another little process that I run on them very continuously to sharpen them while I'm running beingness processing. Take a look. What do you see? Duplicate it. Duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. Throw it away. All right, let's find a nothingness. Duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. Throw it away. All right, now let's take the room and let's duplicate it and 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 throw it away. This is pattern. I mean, this is just the most routine pattern in the world for an auditor who has somebody exteriorized. There's two things an auditor does continually. I mean, every once in a while, he just throws it in just for the hell of it. It's a good thing to do. You know, just a real good thing to do. His preclear is exteriorized. He's drilling them on something. He's running them here and there and so forth. Just all of a sudden say, okay, now, what you looking at? Okay, duplicate it. Duplicate it and 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 duplicate it. And all right, throw those duplicates away. Now find a nothing. Now duplicate it and 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 throw it away. Okay, give me some places where you're not. Those are the two things you do, see? Places where you're not, duplicated. Duplicate some things, duplicate nothings. Duplicate some things, duplicate nothings. Places where you're not, places where you're not, places where you're not, places where you're not. Makes him look. You find out that by salting down all of your processing, and particularly being this processing with this one, why, you get a long way along the line with your pre-clear. It sharpens up perception. Perception is an essence of communication, isn't it? Duplication is the essence of communication. Well, if it is, you'd better give him duplication drills. Otherwise, his perception will stay low. You can change the dickens out of somebody's perception by duplication drills, if he's exteriorized. Now, if he's still in the body, of course, he's probably pushing around the body's universe. He's probably making the body do all these things rather than doing them himself. So that's the difficulty there. And if he's not exteriorized yet, you just take this third step up here, and you just run it back and forth, things that are safe, and so forth, until you've got him exteriorized. SOPHC. The SOPHC step one, and then some universe processing. And step one is some universe processing, and all of a sudden you find out the guy isn't progressing so well. Take him right straight back to the first step. Try to establish two-way communication with him again, and then give him some opening procedure with particular attention to spotting places in space. Now, grind on along the line again. Maybe you have done that, maybe he's exteriorized. Somewhere along the line he's going exteriorized. You can't tell quite where, but if you notice that, that will go into an exteriorization proposition. The fellow will exteriorize. Places where viewpoints are safe, it will occur to me many times that he doesn't want viewpoints here and he doesn't want viewpoints there and so forth. You just ignore it. You just keep getting places where viewpoints would be safe. It's of interest in all of this process to use meshed universe space. Here's the common agreement ground on all these universes. And I give you that caution. I told you that yesterday. Tell it to you again today. Try to get that weight over there on the meshed universe space. Try to get him looking in meshed universe space, pointing into meshed universe space, rather than searching around into other universe spaces. The meshed universe is sort of a crossroad. And again, in beingness processing, remember, it's being spaces and being objects, whatever it is, after the person's exteriorized, and you salt that process down with a lot of where are you not, and you give it at the same time, duplicate, 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 duplicate. With those things in view, you should have no difficulty with these processes. The rest of the steps are self-explanatory. Then they're also written up in here. But no amount of processing or processes will overcome this one fact. Auditor observation. You look at the pre-clear. Here, in advanced course procedure, we have the most effective processes that we know. They're good, they're fast, but they're only as good as the auditor will look at his pre-clear. They're no better than that, because they can be run out of time, out of phase, in the wrong place. They could even be run with exactly the right pattern, but exactly the wrong time, and actually make the pre-clear quite upset. They produce rapid results in the view of how far you're trying to go with a case. You know, they get such tremendous distances that you're liable to overlook the fact that 20 or 30 hours of processing with universe processing is very well invested. Okay.